Good morning. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. The time is 9 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. Present today are Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Co-Chair Stedman, and Co-Chair Wilikowski. Excuse me. Senator Von Imhoff is on other state business, will be joining us shortly, as well as Senator Wilson. Thanks to all our support staff. One item on today's agenda, Senate Bill 97, State Land Sales, Leases, and Rivers. This is the first hearing of SB 97. My intention is to hear an introduction and set the bill aside. Ms. Shino, are you going to be running the slides till Mr. Bailey comes along? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bill introduction and presentation will be done by Mr. Marty Parsons, Director of Division Mining, Land, and Water. Mr. Dave Shady is available for questions from the Department of Ag. And so we will start and kick off with Marty Parsons. So, Marty, if you can hear us, put yourself on the record, and we'll get the volume adjusted in the room.
Good morning, Senator. My name is Marty Parsons. I'm the Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and it's my pleasure to come before you this morning to talk about Senate Bill, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 97. We will have Dave Shady available, who will be presenting the ag portion of the bill, but I'll get started on what this bill does and why it's before the committee today. The land sale bill, of course, is the cornerstone of one of the of Governor Dunleavy's actions to try to get more Alaska lands into Alaskans' hands. What the one of the things that the bill seeks to do is to harmonize authorities between the Department of Natural Resources Title 38 and those authorities found in Title 19 on DOT and I believe it's 17 for the education. And what we're trying to do there is the Division of Mining, Land, and Water under Title 38 has a statute that says that DOT can dispose of lands that they have acquired that are no longer necessary for their purposes. That similar language does not exist under Title 19, so that is harmonized here in Senate Bill 97, and we provide the same type of opportunities for the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, where they have small parcels. So far, we've been able to identify about five across the state where those lands were provided to them at statehood, and have some of the smaller school sites that they would be able to dispose of those as well.
Director Parsons.
One of the other thing.
Director Parsons, just I made a mistake and I forgot to just mention. Just let us know when you're done with of each slide, and then I'll work the table and see if we got questions. Then we'll move to the next slide. So when you're finished, just let us know. Then I'll look to the table for questions.
Absolutely, thank you, Senator. That would be the end of slide one or slide two.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have a map of the parcels that are available for consideration by the citizens of Alaska? My primary concern, Mr. Chairman, is that many people in Western Alaska do not have access to state lands because they're not in close proximity to state lands as a result of vast portions of Western Alaska being federal property. And I'm wondering to rectify this, has the state, are you going to consider doing some exchanges of state and federal property so that people in all areas of Alaska have equal access to state property?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, we have online in our land sales program, we have a wide variety of parcels they're scattered pretty much throughout the state that are available over the counter. And then we also make available every year currently for our land disposal under our auction. And we do try very hard to spread those out statewide. As the state gains much the remainder of its land entitlement, and after some of the municipalities have finished their selections in Western Alaska, some of the DOs that the Biden administration has put on hold to lift, the PLOs that the Biden administration put on hold to lift, and the state brings in more land in Western Alaska, we will absolutely make more land available in that region. We want to make sure that all Alaskans statewide have that opportunity to purchase land. I know we've had land sales, I believe, in the Teller and the Nome area and several others. But yes, we strive to try to make lands available across the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Parsons, you talked about disposing of state-owned assets to the private sector. I'm assuming you're talking about individuals as well as corporations.
Senator Olson, through the chair, if we're speaking about what we're trying to do with DOT and with Department of Education, it would be up to them as far as what their statutes allow them to dispose of. But it would be my assumption that yes, if individuals wanted to bid on those parcels of land, they nothing in this piece of legislation stops them from doing that. And of course, our land sale bill, our land sale program is open to individuals throughout the state.
Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Follow up.
My real question has to do with, if you're dealing with an individual who has a limited amount of disposable income versus a corporation, how do you level the playing field so that the individual that's probably been in the area for a lengthy period of time is not subject or is able to go ahead and compete with multi-million dollar corporations that may have the same interest in the land and the building?
Senator Olson, through the chair, again, we would have to talk to DOT and education to determine how they would dispose of that of those lands. In many cases, most cases, we start at fair market value, which is established through our appraisal process. But then it's open. It's an open bid. There's no specific land set aside to determine whether it's a corporation or whether it's an individual. I think as we get farther into this presentation, there's some opportunities where state land is going to be made available for commercial purposes, where those types of things will be taken into account.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. We're ready for the next slide, I believe.
Should be slide 3. So one of the things that we have worked with in our disposal program, in 2000 we established the Land Disposal Income Fund, which was basically an opportunity for up to $5 million of revenue generated by the Land Disposal Program would stay within the program. It was swept and then reverse swept back into the program. And that allows us to do things like build roads, provide surveys, do design for our subdivisions, and then also for us to pay some of the staff that works on the land sales program and making those lands available. That was established at $5 million in the year 2000, and that is, there has been no inflation proofing that has taken place for that fund. So as costs for construction, costs for wages and benefits, costs for surveys have all gone up, that cap has stayed the same. So we wind up being squeezed up against that cap, and it has minimized our ability to build roads into some new subdivisions to make more lands available to Alaskans. So what we are asking to do here is to basically inflation-proof that cap, and then just a little bit more, so we don't have to come back in the near future and adjust that again to take that to $12 million. And basically it's not an appropriation. It's just the level at which funds automatically roll from the land disposal program into the general fund. So if there aren't funds available within the program, of course we can't appropriate, but it would allow us to keep up to $12 million of the fund's revenue to generate and build the infrastructure necessary to get more land disposal parcels out onto the market.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you provide me with the last 5 years of where that income fund has been expended, in what locations throughout the state? Thank you.
Senator Hoffman, yes, we will prepare that and get that information to you.
And Mr. Parsons, along the same lines with that request, also have another slide showing us what you have not been able to do. And
Senator Bishop, we will absolutely do that. We can provide areas where we have not been able to take to bring parcels to market because we just didn't have the funds to construct the roads necessary to meet planning authority requirements and to get access to those.
Thank you. Next slide, I believe.
That would be correct, Senator Bishop. We'll be talking about, this is the program that I spoke to a little bit earlier. We looked at how does the state help industry get land so that it can start to develop some commercial uses. We originally started out thinking about remote areas in western Alaska where we would try to mimic the federal program. They had an economic opportunity zone, and it would provide lands for individuals that wanted to start a business, and especially in some of the rural areas, but we expanded that to basically statewide, where they could look at an area and nominate it and say, we would like to be able to put in a lodge and you know, that would allow us to bring an economy into the area, or we want to build a manufacturing facility somewhere close to an existing airstrip, or a number of different commercial opportunities where entrepreneurs and businesses could come to the state and say, we need a piece of land, say up to 20 acres, where we can start to build our programs and our manufacturing or whatever facility that happens to be. But we don't necessarily want to have to compete with everybody else that sees what we want to use the land for and then get outbid. So this would allow an individual or a small corporation, family business to come to the state, nominate a parcel that they would then be able to survey, appraise, start in a lease. They would provide a synopsis of what they intend to do with the land and how they intend to help build the state's economy by using this land for a commercial purpose. They would then enter into a lease with the state, and as they work through their program and the state could see that they were fulfilling the ideas that they brought forth in their development plan, we could then turn around and sell that to them directly. So it's an opportunity, we think, for people who have great ideas to help diversify the state's economy, to use that state land as a springboard or as a base to start developing that without having to go through the normal, as it was previously brought up, bidding against large corporations that might want to use the same parcel of land for that purpose.
Thank you. I have one question. Would that, so would a green energy project be an allowable, would that be an allowable use of the commercial use on these lands?
Senator Bishop, yes. I would think so. We would, everything's going to be very specific to what the development plan is from the individuals that bring it forward. But there's no limit to what those lands could be used for.
Okay, thank you. Next slide.
So the next slide, we move into the agriculture portion of the bill, and at this point, I will turn that over to Mr. Dave Shady, Director of the Division of Agriculture, to provide the information necessary for that portion of the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Shady?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
We can. We're going to turn the volume up here just a minute, so put your name on the record, and we'll get the volume adjusted.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Shady. I am the Director of the Division of Agriculture in the Department of Natural Resources. So as that, we are working on the agricultural land disposals throughout the state with the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. As we have worked to manage agricultural land, we have found that there's a pretty restrictive definition in the statutes on what is agricultural use. And so what this change does is to allow more modernization of agriculture, those uses and improvements to that land, so long as we continue to limit the primary use for agricultural purposes. So when the statute was written in the 60s, of course, agriculture was in a different state than it is today. So we believe this will really allow people with ag covenants to more properly and better use that property and be successful and financially stable with that. Also in this change is a couple of things we think that will help people as they're trying to change to where they're subdividing those lands for estate planning purposes and for changing out that area. So in the past, there was a minimum of 40 acres, and we've just looked at that and said, you know, it's probably more appropriate, a lot of high-intensive agriculture, so we'll bring that down to 20 acres if you want to subdivide. And there was a limit of 4 parcels, and we're upping that to 8 parcels. So we're trying to make this more user-friendly, making it better to support agriculture and how it is today. So those, in a nutshell, are the two small but very important changes that are done in this bill.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? I got one question on the last bullet, allows for land use improvements. And so can you explain that a little bit more? So, you know, most farm, where I'm going with this, most farmers start out with 2 million and they got 1 million when they're done farming. So with this, allow them to maybe continue their agriculture, but also allow them to maybe have a little side hustle going on the side to subsidize the farm a little bit.
Yes, Senator Bishop, that is exactly the intent. So for example, we have a lot of folks that have farm tourism, bed and breakfast. Technically, the view of the Department of the Law is that's not allowed on ag parcels. And frankly, I think that is a great way to get people out on the land, see what agriculture is doing, and have them part of that viable economic entity. So this is exactly what the intent of this language is. We don't want to take it out of ag. But, for example, if you have a proposal to do a cell tower in a little piece of the corner, so now we have this ag parcel has a good cell service, I don't see why that should be a problem. Those de minimis uses that don't impact that primary purpose then will be allowable, and so we can help these farmers in their farm plans be more sustainable over time. It, you know, sustainability, as we says, is all about the economics, as you pointed out.
Thank you. Next slide, please.
right. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Again, this is Marty Parsons, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and I'll be going through the last couple of slides. Senators, the last couple of slides are basically what we would call some cleanup of different languages and that have not, you know, modernized or kept up with the times. And another one is a clarification as to what type of standards the state will be held to when constructing roads within the organized borough. The previous version of this bill had a lot of work where, or a lot of sections that would have made the state the planning authority. Over the last year, we have worked very, very closely with the Alaska Municipal League. We're able to come to some resolution on how the state and the various municipalities can work together to better offer state land to Alaskans. One of the things that we came out with was we would clarify that the state would be held to the same standards and no greater standards than what would normally be required for a similar development if it was done by the private sector. So if we looked at different types of roads, you might have a collector road, which would be built at a certain standard. It could be a gravel road, and the state wouldn't be held to an arterial road standard that would have to have a blacktop and ditches and other drainage structures. So it's just a clarification, and the Municipal League has been very supportive of this. And all it does is just state that the state will be held to the same standard as private developers. That's on slide 6. On slide 7.
Mr. Parsons,
yes.
Just 1 second. Did we have questions from the table? Seeing none. Senator Wilson, before you go there, I just want to mention those listening at home. Senator Von Hemhoff has been with us for some time. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned sort of the developers and trying to meet the same requirements as developers when selling these lots for standard size. Are you looking to sell these lots to developers after they sort of get the minimum road standards, or are you going to sell these lots and break them out to individual subsections?
Senator Wilson, through the chair, currently what we do is this would be a subdivision development that the state would build the roads and then offer the individual lots for sale. We are looking at opportunities where larger parcels might be offered straight to a developer with no infrastructure in place, and it would then be up to the developer to do that work on their own. That's something that we're looking at to see if that meets all of the statutory requirements and is something that's in the best interest of the state.
Follow-up, Senator Wilson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, you know, going through and listening to some of our community out in, let's take Big Lake, for example, you know, that has done, they prefer the latter just because of we have a lot of sub-dwelling units that build on these one-acre lots, and that the sort of the development of power, water, sort of the sewer, sort of those higher grade utilities aren't really developed when we do it in a parcel by parcel, you know, 1 acre lot at a time. But if a developer was able to purchase a 20 acre lot unit versus a 1 acre, you know, they could bring in those utilities and have a better subdivision be developed, or strip mall, whatever you may have it. It's just a sort of a better process to enhance the area.
Senator Wilson, through the chair, normally when the state develops it, the planning board requires that the state put in roads, utilities, those types of things, and then sell individual lots within a subdivision. So normally we won't sell just a lot. We'll have 50 lots or 20 lots, 10 lots, whatever the area happens to be conducive to sell. But I understand the concerns of the community, and like I say, that is something that we are looking to help to work with that portion of the industry to provide land for them to subdivide and to develop on their own.
Thank you. Mr. Parsons, next slide, please.
Slide 7, these are, again, some cleanup language. We have not modernized or kept up with all the technologies that allow us to to sell land. One of those is the ability to do an online auction. Currently, we would not be able to do that. And so the bill provides for the state to be able to take advantage of that online opportunity. We are increasing the term of the contract to 30 years as opposed to 20 years as we see the value of land increase, and we do start at a fair market value determined by an appraisal. It's better for us to be able to extend that period out so that we more mimic what the private sector does, and the mortgage companies are able to do and sell on a contract that has a 30-year term. And we're also replacing foreclosure with termination, and it's basically an interpretation of those words. Foreclosure would intimate that if we canceled an individual's contract for some reason under default, we would also take personal property, and that's not the case. We want to terminate the contract, make the land available again through the land sale program, but it provides for an opportunity for people to remove their personal property from the parcel before the state would resell it.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Wilson.
Hey, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. What's the normal state rate of return?
Senator Wilson, through the chair, rate of return on
the land sales.
Well, it varies. It varies quite a bit. I don't have a good answer for that because it does vary so much, depending on where we sell land. I can tell you that land in the interior in most cases will sell for around $3,000 an acre. You get into an area that has road construction, the value goes up. Land in southeast Alaska where the state has minimal ownership, and so much of the land is owned by the federal government, that land is valued higher, mainly because a lot of times it has waterfront. I will talk to our land sales staff, Senator Wilson, and get you an idea about what our rate of return is.
Follow-up?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I guess maybe in a 5-year average or 10-year average statewide or geographical would be helpful. And then I just have another question, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Follow-up?
What's the typical interest rate for the financing that you have in the slide?
Senator Wilson, through the chair, it's prime plus 2.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Okay. Please continue.
Senator Bishop, that is the end of our presentation.
Okay, we're going to go to public comment. We're open for public comment. Doesn't appear to have anybody online. Anybody in the room wishing to comment on Senate Bill 97? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Any further committee discussion before we set this bill aside? Senator Wilson.
Sorry. I just didn't know if there is any opposition to this bill or from who may oppose this Senate Bill 97.
We had a little bit in the Resource Committee. There was a section that was removed, and I don't believe there was any further objection after that section was removed. Senator Vyhmov.
Yes, I think that's correct. You had the Susitna Waters, I don't really have it in front of me, drainage, recreational use.
Rec Rivers.
Yep. Rec Rivers, that was removed. But I think the good news with this particular bill is that the Rec Rivers was established, 30 years ago, and it was supposed to have an advisory board, and it's never been populated. And I think the impetus of this bill is that there's an effort now to populate this advisory committee and begin to look at a 30-year-old plan to see if it needs modernization. And so to me, that's a good thing. That was really one of the opposition, but then that's the positive thing that came out of it.
Seeing no, did you have another comment, sir? Seeing no further Committee discussion, this bill will be set aside. Tomorrow's meeting, April 29th at 9 a.m. on the agenda, is SB 93, Health Insurance, All Payer Claims Database. That's at 9 a.m. We are adjourned.